Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness. We're going to go to James chapter 2. Just last week, we finished up a series, a three-week series on Kingdom Come, where we were talking about how Jesus taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I really hope that you throughout your life are seeing the kingdom of God invade your home. I know just the other night we were having devotion at our home and we were worshiping and we got down in the floor and we were all kneeling and we were praying and we had an altar call right there in our house. And I just said, hey, anybody need prayer for anything? And Judah said, I'd like prayer for this. And Bethel said, I'd like prayer for this. So we got to start praying for one another and laying hands on one another. And the children got to pray for each other. And I want to encourage you that you can't, it's not enough. And this is kind of going to tie into what I'm talking about today. Don't just pray for the kingdom of God to come to your house, but bring the kingdom of God to your house. Because as it says in Luke chapter 17 that I read to you last week, the kingdom of God is within you. So one thing you need to do is not just say, God, bring your kingdom, but allow the kingdom of God to work through you. Use your faith, use the authority that you have in Christ Jesus to bring the kingdom of God to your home, to your workplace, to your community, everywhere that you go. So today we're going to look at James chapter 2, and I'm going to talk about working faith, okay? Working faith, because we'll see through this passage that we're going to read. We're going to read verses 14 through 16 as James is instructing us what it means to not just possess faith, but to use our faith. We're going to see in this passage that we read in just a moment that, simply believing in God is not enough. In fact, if you keep reading past verse 16, we're not going to go there today. We may talk about it next week. But James tells us in his epistle, he says, even demons believe and tremble. But you know why? Because nothing has a choice whether or not, nothing can stand against the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing can stand. So even demons believe and tremble. But what are we doing with the faith that we've been given? What we're called to put our faith into action. In fact, faith is a gift from God. I want you to realize that today, that what you have been given, and every single person has a measure of faith. And it's a gift that God has given you, okay? But it's not going to be advantageous for your life until you put it to work. So let's talk about working faith. Let's read James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Would you bow your heads and pray with me today? Father, I ask that as we look into your perfect law of liberty, that you would strengthen your body today. God, I pray that we would have working faith. Lord, I pray that for faith that's been laying dormant in the hearts of your people today would be awakened. It would be brought back to life. God, I pray that we would be people that don't just say that we believe in you, but that we would use the gift and the measure of faith that you've placed inside of us. Lord, I ask that you would anoint me as a vessel to speak your word clearly, God, so that it can be ministered to hearts and minds. Lord, I pray that if anyone is bound in this place today, they would be set free by the power and the anointing of God. Lord, we just surrender this time to you. We thank you that you are in this place, that you're the King of Kings and you're the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the first thing I want to show you through what we've read is that faith is meant to be profitable. Okay? Listen to verse 14 again. What does it profit, my brethren? Listen what it says at the last part of verse 16 we read. What does it profit? So faith is meant to be profitable for your life. Now listen, this is not just talking about physical profit, possessions, money, your home, your vehicle, okay? It's not just talking about that. Faith is a gift from God that is meant to make your life, both spiritual and physical, better. And it's also meant to make the life of those that are around you better. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. Because basically what James is saying to us is this. What good is it if you say that you believe in God, but you don't do what his word has called you to do? In another part of the book of James, he says, do not be hearers only, but be ye doers of the word. Don't just listen to what the word of God says, but obey it. Be obedient to it. Carry it out, right? So what good is it to say, I believe in God, but not carry out the things that he has instructed us to do? Things like love your neighbor. Things like give generously. Things like feed the poor. Share the gospel. Forgive, right? So what good is it if you say you believe in him, but you don't obey him? Because the blessing, the profit, comes through obedience. Your life isn't profitable just because you say that God is real and you go to church, okay? Your life becomes profitable when you put the faith that he has implanted inside of you to work. Working faith. Not just, yeah, I believe in God, but what are you doing with the belief that you've put in God? And here's one thing I want you to know today. Your faith doesn't work itself out. You must take responsibility to put your faith to work. Just like this, your car doesn't drive itself. Now, I know that we're getting closer and closer to the day when there are self-driving cars, but your car that you have today does not drive itself. You have to get in the driver's seat. You have to put the key in the ignition. You have to turn it over in order to get where you need to go. So your car is a mode of transportation that enables you to travel from one place to another. But your car can't take you anywhere while it's sitting in the garage. In the same manner, your faith is a mode of transportation that will take you into places that you never thought that you could go, but you have to make it work. It's not just going to take you there on its own. It's not just going to magically happen. It has the potential to take you anywhere. Good. Just like your car. But you can tell me all day about your car, how fast it is, how great the gas mileage you get, what tires you put on it, what engine it is in it. But until you get in that front seat and you put that key in the ignition, you turn the engine over and you fire that thing up and you put it into drive, it's not going anywhere. Right. And it's the same thing with faith. Too many people have all kinds of horsepower just sitting in the garage. Yeah. There's faith that's inside of you that God has given you the ability to believe for and to put into action and to put to work, and we're content just to let it sit in the garage. Yeah. And brag about all this power that we've got, but nobody's using it, right? God has given you everything that you need that pertains both to life and to godliness. Think about this for a moment with me, because that word godliness means godlikeness. He has given you everything that you need. He's given you the faith that you need in order to be like him. That's good. In fact, Jesus said, because he goes to the Father, the same works shall we do, and greater works shall we do. He has given us the faith that is needed to see miracles take place. He's given us the faith that is needed to see anything become possible, right? So you've got the faith that you need to see the sick healed. You've got the faith that you need to see that fear that we were commanding against earlier to leave. You have the faith. You don't have to be in a service like this. When that fear comes upon you, you can rise up. The faith that's inside of you, you put it to work and you begin to say, fear, you are not welcome here anymore. You have to get out of my house. You have to get out of my mind. You have to get out of my children's life. You have to get out of anything that's coming near to me. This is a fear-free zone. Amen? You can say debt, shame, worry, doubt, anything, you have the faith to send it fleeing in Jesus' name. Amen? You've got all the faith that you need to look at a mountain and command it be cast into the sea and see that thing uproot itself from the earth and high step into the ocean. You have that faith, kind of faith inside of you, and I can tell that none of y'all believe it. I can tell because you're sitting there going, yeah, I've heard this before, but hearing it is not doing it. And the problem is we've heard so much about faith, and we think that it's not working and it's not happening. Well, the reason faith isn't working is because you're not working it out. That's right. You've got to open up your mouth and begin to declare what you believe. Declare who God is. Declare what his word says. But the Bible says in the book of James, if you keep reading, we read 14 through 16. Read what it says in let me get to the right place here. Verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. Unless you are working your faith is dead. So Let me ask you today, how's your faith? Is it alive? Is it working? Is it profiting your life and the life of those that are around you? Because remember what it said in verse 14 and verse 16. What profit is it? Because there's meant to be profit in faith, but there is no profit in faith unless you're using the faith that has been apportioned to you. Now, let's talk about that word profit, because that word profit literally means advantage. What advantage do you have if you don't use the faith that's been given to you? Because everybody's been given faith. Even the unbeliever has faith inside of them because they're using it to believe in something. To every man, the book of Romans says, there's been given a measure of faith. But what advantage do you have if you don't use your faith? I believe that believers ought to have an edge, an advantage in the world. Yes. In your job, in everything that we do, we should have an advantage. You should be the most blessed house on your street. Favor should be abounding and flowing everywhere that you go, everywhere that you turn. There should be favor. Why? Because you're using your faith. But when you don't use your faith, God is not obligated to favor your life. Faith activates favor. Some of you have been wondering, where's the favor on my life? I believe in God, believing even the demons believe and tremble. The question is, are you working your faith? Because faith, you know why faith activates favor? Because faith pleases God. The book of Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what does that say of those who do have faith? That they please God. When we use the faith, not faith that is dead, not faith that is put in something else, but faith that is put in Him, it pleases Him. I believe that favor makes your life not fair. You just have it, because He says, what advantage do you have? Meaning, if you do use your faith, there's going to be an advantage on your life. Favor is not fair. The other day, I was playing golf with my dad, my brother, and one of the pastors from Scottsboro, Pastor Matt, and we were having a great time. We were out there playing a charity golf tournament, and we all hit from the fairway, and we all hit shots on the green, and it looked from the fairway like they were all three closer than I was, and I was the furthest one away. But as we approached the green, there was a different perspective than there was from the fairway. And we realized that my ball was actually closer. So you know what I said to them? I said, hey, boys, favor ain't fair, right? It may have looked like I didn't hit the best shot, but favor's simply just not fair sometimes. Because when you put your faith to work, you have an advantage, okay? Don't tell me that that's not true. Let me give you some examples of this. You tell me how a little shepherd boy with nothing but a sling and a stone defeated a 9-foot, 9-inch-tall giant who was a seasoned war veteran because favor's not fair. Because the favor of God was resting upon David's life. And he said, you uncircumcised Philistine, what makes you think that you can defy the armors of the living God? Because the favor of God was resting on David's life, even something that was humongous, a giant. You want to see giants fall in your life? Start operating in faith, and that faith will produce favor, and that favor will overcome the giant that's trying to come against you and to come against your life. You tell me how Gideon defeated an army of over 10,000 men with 300 guys with no weapons except for torches, pitchers, and trumpets. Favor is how he overcame them. You tell me how the Israelites overtook the inhabitants of Canaan, and who had mighty armies, who had footmen, who had horsemen, who had chariots. But they had, listen, think about this. The Israelites had never fought a battle before they crossed the Red Sea. They did nothing but make bricks their whole life. And here they come marching through the land that God has promised to them, and they start defeating people left and right. So much so that it says in the city of Jericho that their hearts melted with fear inside of them from people that not months ago had never wielded a sword. They never touched a spear. Because you don't give slaves form of defenses. The Egyptians didn't allow them to have spears and knives and swords and shields, but because the favor of God was on their life, the enemy could put up his best fight and there's nothing he could do about it. You explained to me about how when in later times, they would go to fight against multiple enemies and those enemies would turn their swords on one another and kill one another. Why? Because the favor of God was on their life. Here's one of my personal favorites is when they went to fight the Jebusites, the Bible says that God sent hornets ahead of them and drove the Jebusites out of the land by the hornet. That's favor. They didn't even have to do anything. God put the hornets to work to drive those people out. You tell me how Paul and Silas sat chained in a prison. They had been arrested. They'd been thrown into the dark dungeon. But at midnight, they put their faith to work. They begin to sing praises to the God that was not bound by human conditions, by human limitations. And they begin to sing praises to him. Soon enough, the bonds begin to fall off their hands, off their feet. The doors begin to open, not just in their cell, but in the ones that were around them. When they put their faith to action, favor was unlocked in their life to see the miraculous take place. So all those things. You tell me God doesn't give you an advantage? Oh, God gives an advantage to those who put their faith in him because they have the Lord on their side. Listen, God doesn't fight fair, okay? When you put your faith to work, he will profit your life with every good thing. Because listen to this, all those things that I just said, he didn't just do it for them. He'll do it for you.
That's right.
He's no respecter of persons. But listen, it's not just for your benefit. It's for the benefit of others as well. Yeah. It's not just so that I can have favor on my life and I can be blessed and things can be better for me and I can have more money and I can do this and I can do that. No, it's for the betterment of others, because notice what verse 15 says. It says, if your brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food and you send them away saying, have peace and be filled and be warm, where's the profit in that? How did you profit their life? By just saying, be at peace, be warm, be filled. You see, your faith is meant to make a difference, not just in your life, but in the life of those that are around you. Because it doesn't matter how much you accumulate if you aren't willing to distribute. I'm not a consumer of God's blessings. I'm a distributor of God's blessings. But there's so many people in the church that have a me, 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 more, 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 give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me mentality. And we're not using what God has given us to distribute to other people. That's why we're doing things like 12 bushels, is we want to distribute that God has blessed us. He has favored us. He has loved us. He has saved us. And it's not enough for us to simply keep that to ourselves. Amen? As God blesses my life, as he opens doors for me, as he provides for me, I am called and you are called to give to those that are around us, to serve, to help. That's where the works comes in. Is, yes, by grace we have been saved through faith, not of works.
Right.
But once we've been saved by grace through faith, we should work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. That's why verse 17 we read earlier, though faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, it's dead. That word dead means lifeless, but it also means this, not able to respond. You're going to have times and moments in your life when you're going to need your faith to respond.
Yeah.
But if it's dead, it can't.
Yeah.
Listen to this. What you don't fuel will fail. Think about it. You can declare that you have faith. You can claim it. You can blab it and grab it all you want. But what you don't fuel will fail. Faith that doesn't work is not able to respond.
Yeah.
So, working your faith is what fuels your faith. Serving, giving, reading his word. In fact, the book of Romans says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's fueling your faith. When you read the Bible and you see, oh, he can do that for them, he can do that for me, right? So reading, praying, serving, worship, listening to the preached word of God. Today, one of my goals is that your faith would be fueled today.
Yeah.
That something inside of you would say, I haven't been working my faith. It's been sitting dormant. It hasn't been used. I haven't been doing it. It goes back to the car analogy of the car in the garage. Because you can have the best, nicest, greatest, newest car in the garage, but if there's no gas in the tank, you're not going anywhere. Okay? Maybe you say, well, my car is electric. Okay, well, if you didn't charge your car, it's not going anywhere. It is something still has to fuel it.
Right.
What you don't fuel will fail. And some of you need to pray today, Lord, fill me up.
Yeah.
God, I've let my faith grow cold and I'm running on empty. I haven't been fueling it. Because listen, when a situation arises, you're going to want your faith to respond.
Right.
When the doctor gives you a bad report, right? When you don't get that job that you've been hoping and praying for. When your child starts acting crazy and rebellious, you're going to want your faith to respond. But what is dead can't respond. And faith without works, it's dead. You're going to want your faith to be able to respond. You're not going to want to find yourself empty on that day. So work your faith out. Be intentional to use your faith on a daily basis. Put it into action. Because think about this. You are responsible to work out your faith. Right? Yeah. Just like an athlete goes to the gym and lifts weights. They run. They train. They practice. So that when the time comes to compete, their body will be able to respond to the competition that is ahead of them. They don't practice and train just for the sake of doing it. They do it for the game so that they're ready. And we work out our faith so that when it comes time, for when a situation comes that we didn't expect, that we weren't ready for, that we weren't looking for, that we didn't think was going to happen, something bad takes place, our faith is able to respond because we've been working it out. Every time you use your faith, you're strengthening it. Just like every time you lift weights, the next time you lift, you're stronger. And you can do more, and you can do more. It's the same way with your faith. We need to work out our faith. Most people think, I need more faith, right? I need more faith. No, you need to use the faith that you already have. You don't need more faith. And I'm gonna show you that in the scripture in just a moment, because you are responsible for your walk with God. I may be your pastor, but I'm not responsible for your walk with God. I'm here to lead you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to teach you. I'm here to counsel you. Whatever I can do to help you get closer to God. But you must walk out your own walk with God. God will help you. God will lead you. He will put other people in your life to help you and lead you. But you must make the decision to follow him. That's why Paul told the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 12 of his epistle to them, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. He said, you're obedient when I'm present, but you should be even more obedient when I'm absent to work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. So I tell you today, take responsibility and work it out. Don't be a lazy Christian. Don't be somebody that God has given you that gift of faith, but you never stir it up. I love what Paul told Timothy. He said, stir up the gift of God that's inside of you through the laying on of my hands. You need to stir up that faith today. Instead of saying, I need more faith, I need more faith, I need more faith. I love what the man said when he came to Jesus. He said, Lord, I believe, but I need you to help my unbelief. You see, the problem isn't that you don't have the faith to believe, it's that your unbelief oftentimes outweighs your belief. Yeah. It's that you haven't been, you've done more time working out your doubt than you have your faith. Just like if you go to the gym and all you work out is your right arm, your left arm will not get stronger. You'll begin to be disproportioned, right? And your right arm, you'll walk around like this, right? Because you know people that lift weights, they always walk like this, whether they need to or not. I saw a guy the other day, he looked like he'd been going to the gym for 2 weeks, and he was like this. And I'm like, you can drink all the protein you want, but it doesn't make your arms do this, you know? But if you only work out one side of your body, only that side of your body is going to get strong. And the problem is that we spend more time entertaining thoughts of doubt than we do thoughts of faith. And so therefore, we are working out our doubt. We're strengthening our doubt. We're strengthening our fear. Every time you give into that thought of fear, it's like going to a spiritual gym and working out your fear. But what you need to do is stop that game plan and get in the gym of spiritual growth and begin to work out your faith and begin to feed yourself with the Word of God. Begin to serve at 12 bushels. Begin to serve in the nursery. Begin to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you're working out that faith and you are getting stronger and stronger so that unbelief cannot overcome the faith that has been implanted inside of you. So we all the time, though, we think, I need more faith. That'd be like me saying, I need more muscles. Well, all I have to do is go to the gym and start working out, eating right, living right. And I want to show you this in scripture. Go with me to Luke chapter 17. We're going to read verse 5, and then we're going to stop. Because the apostles, the disciples, they come to Jesus, and here's what they say in Luke 17 in verse 5. It says, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. That word increase means give more. So they're asking Jesus, give us more faith. We want to be able to do what you do, Jesus. We want to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We want to be able to see blind eyes open. We want to be able to see lame legs walk. We want to be able to see people be forgiven of their sins. So, Jesus, what we need is we need you to give us more faith. We need you to add to us. Lord, give us more. Give us more. And this sounds like a very spiritual request, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It sounds spiritual. It sounds mature. It sounds great. Sounds like something we should all start praying. Lord, give us more faith. But that's how so many people treat faith. They want God to give them more faith. Why? Because they want him to make it easier for them to believe. Okay? If I just had more faith, I could believe for my healing. If I just had more faith, I could believe for a better job. If I just had more faith, I could believe that there's a call of God on my life. If I just had more faith, I could believe that this nation could be saved. If I just had more. But allow me to remind you, listen, I said it earlier, he has already given you everything that pertains both to life and godliness. He's already given you everything you need. And here's the disciple saying, Lord, increase our faith. Give us more faith. But listen how Jesus responds to the disciples when they asked him to increase their faith. Let's read verse 5 again so we get it context. Starting in verse 5. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree right here, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Jesus didn't go, you guys ask great questions. Y'all are so spiritual. You're asking the right thing and you're talking to the right guy. I'll give you more faith because you asked for it. No, he said, if you just have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can simply speak to a mulberry tree and it will be uprooted and plant itself in the sea. It will obey you. Jesus is making a point to them and making a point to us. Here's the point. You don't need more faith. You need to use the faith I've already given you. Because if needing more faith was the answer, Jesus would have said, come here and let me lay hands on you and I'll give you more faith. Come here, let me pray over you. Come here, let me release this into your life. But he didn't say that. He said, listen, if you just have a small amount of faith. You ever seen a mustard seed? It's tiny. They're so small. He said, if you just have faith, but if you plant that mustard seed in the ground, it will become a humongous tree that is strong and that is sturdy. So it's not about how much you have, it's about how much you use.
Yeah.
So I ask you today, what are you doing with the measure of faith that has been given to you, that God has entrusted to you? It makes me think about the parable of the talents, where the master was going to go on a long journey and he called three servants in and he gave one talent, one 2 talents, and one 5 talents. The Bible says each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey, and when he came back, he wanted them to give an account for what they had done with the talents that he had given to them. The one that had 5 says, hey, I used my 5 and I gained 5 more. The one that had 2 said, I gained my 2 and I used my 2 and I've gained 2 more. The one that had 1 said, I was scared because I knew the kind of person that you were and that you reap where you haven't sown. And so I dug a hole and I put mine in the ground and I didn't use it. You know what the king said, or the master said to that one? He said, you wicked and lazy servant. He said, take his talent and give it to the one that has 10. Because he who has, even more will be given. But to him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Listen, we so look at this all the time as the giftings and the abilities that God gave us. But this applies to every aspect of our life. It's not just talking about your spiritual gifts or your natural gifts or your money or your time. This is talking about what are you doing with the faith that I've implanted inside of you? Are you using it to grow? Are you using it to better your life, better other people's life? Or is it just sitting in the corner collecting dust? Have you buried it in the ground? He expected, the master expected the servants to use what had been given to them and cause it to grow. And in the exact same way, God has given each of us a measure of faith and he expects us to use that faith to advance his kingdom. When he comes back, he's not just going to ask, what church did you go to? He's not just going to ask, you know, did you hold membership in a church? Did you, you know, were you a good person? Did you do the right thing? He's going to want to know, what'd you do with the faith that I gave you? Now, let me tell you this. Your faith may feel small right now, right? But as you use it, as you work it out, it will grow. The more you use it, the more you exercise it. And here's the thing. Faith is so powerful. It's so potent that even a small amount can begin to move things in your life. Jesus gave us that example of a mulberry tree. When his disciples said, increase our faith, he said, listen, if you just have this much faith, you can speak to this tree that's planted in the ground and tell it to uproot itself and it will be planted in the sea, right? There's another place where Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, be cast into the sea, and it will be removed and it will obey you. Can that really happen? Yeah, it can really happen. But here's the thing. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I think that the point that Jesus is making this, he's not telling us to go out to the tree and start speaking to the tree right now. Now, if you want to do that, go right ahead. That's between you and God. But I'm not saying that can't happen at all. It can, because God can do anything. But here's the point Jesus is making. What you can't do in your humanity, I can do through your faith. What seems impossible to a person, because last time I checked, man still hasn't found a way to relocate mountains. They're not moving Kilimanjaro here tomorrow, right? They're not moving Mount St. Helens to New York tomorrow. Why? Because man still has not found a way to pick up a mountain and to move it somewhere else. So he's saying what's completely impossible with anybody else, no amount of wisdom, of science, of strength can do this. But through your faith, I can do anything. But here's one thing that I want to make clear that I think a lot of people get confused on. And usually with faith, there's two different camps, right? There's the faith movement camp that, by God, I can fly this helicopter even though I've never gone to flight school, and I can do it because I have faith that I can fly this helicopter. Or you've got this idea of like, well, faith is just, you know, it's for us to get saved by grace through faith, you know, it allows us to believe in God. But I want to make very clear today that faith is not twisting God's arm to make him do what you want him to do. And that's how a lot of people treat faith. If I believe hard enough, God has to do what I say he has to do. No, then you would be God instead of him. Faith is not, I'm going to believe and I'm going to declare until God does what I want him to do. And so many people grew cold to the idea of faith because of the faith movement that swept Pentecostal believers years ago. And they preached a message saying that if you believed hard enough, God would do whatever you want. If you believe hard enough, God will give you $5,000. I'm not saying you shouldn't believe God for $5,000, but you should not use faith as a bargaining chip to try to get what you want from God. Okay? Jesus said this, when he said, if you ask anything in my name, he said, it will be done for you. But if you study that out in the Greek, you find out that the phrase in my name actually means in my character. So Jesus wasn't just saying, if you say anything in Jesus' name, it will be done for you. Because then we could go around saying, in Jesus' name, there's going to be $1 million in my bank account tomorrow morning when I wake up. In Jesus' name, I'm going to have this house that I'd always dreamed of. In Jesus' name, and then it would just have to be done. No, he's saying, if you ask anything in my character, in my likeness, in who I am, with the same heart that I had, with the same mindset that I had, it will be done for you. He was saying, if you ask the Father anything in my likeness, because you know why? Because Jesus didn't pray selfish prayers. Like so many people pray selfish prayers and they say, in Jesus' name. And we think that just because we said in Jesus' name, even though it's a selfish request, he has to do it. It's not true. Jesus didn't pray anything that the Father didn't tell him to pray. Because the Bible says he didn't say anything unless the Father told him to say it. He didn't do anything unless the Father told him to do it. So Jesus was 100% of the time praying the perfect will of the Father. So when we pray in the character of Jesus and we pray the perfect will of the Father, obviously he will do it because it's his will. It's what he wants to do. Amen? So true faith is not demanding God do whatever you ask, wish, or command. True faith is saying, God, I believe that with you all things are possible. I believe that if you want to do this, you can do it. I believe that if you want to do this, you can do it. True faith is also this, you putting legs to your prayers. Not just praying, God help them, God save them, but true faith is taking care of the orphans and the widows. True faith is you being willing to be the answer to whatever it is that you are praying. Amen? Yeah. True faith isn't just about praying for people to get saved. It's about opening your mouth and preaching the gospel to them. Listen what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says. It says, "For we are his workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The Father has purposed for you and I to walk in good works, exercising our faith by doing whatever it is that our Father asks us to do. I encourage you this week, put your faith to work. Don't let it just sit in the garage. Don't let it just collect dust. Don't just let it, you know, sit there and, well, I've got this power inside of me. Well, if you have the power, use the power. Yeah. And it's going to become stronger and it's going to become greater. You may look at some people and say, how can they believe for that and then it just happens? Because somewhere they believe for something smaller and that happened. And then they believe for something else and something else. And they kept putting their faith in God and they kept working out that faith. Yeah. Because faith without works is not able to respond. Ask the Lord this week to reveal to you ways that he can use you to serve somebody. Ask him, God, what are those good works that you prepared beforehand that I should walk in them? What is it? How can I serve my spouse? How can I serve my community? How can I serve my children? How can I serve at church? How can I walk in the good works that you have prepared beforehand? I'm going to begin to close with this. You can go and stand to your feet with me today. I referenced this earlier, but in the book of Hebrews, this is very important. It says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Pleasing God should be the number one focus of every believer. And the only way to do it is to operate in faith. Not dead faith, but working faith. Living faith. Active faith. So that tells us that when we work with faith, God is pleased and he is delighted in us. And that's why God honors faith. In fact, if you look at the scripture, only two things caused Jesus to marvel, belief and unbelief. Yeah. The Bible says he marveled at their faith, but it also says he marveled at their unbelief. Nothing else caught Jesus off guard. Nothing else caused him to be taken back and go, whoa, unless someone really believed or someone really didn't believe. I would rather be somebody that he marvels at how much I believe. Because when I put my faith in him, what I'm saying is I have assurance that what you can do, that what you said you will do, you can do and you will do. As you keep reading down the book of James, it says, was not Abraham justified when he was told to sacrifice his only son and he was obedient to do it? And so therefore the scripture is fulfilled where it says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to righteousness. Abraham did not stand in his tent and go, God, I believe that you've told me to take Isaac and I believe you can raise him from the dead. No, Abraham got up the next morning. He saddled his donkey. He took his son and he climbed that mountain. It wasn't just Abraham saying in his heart, I believe. It was Abraham saying with his actions, I believe. And that was accounted to him as righteousness. The book of Romans says that he believed that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. I want to encourage you today, take God at his word. Whatever he said he can do, he will do. Amen. Would you bow your head with me today? Father, we're not here today to ask you to increase our faith. We're here like the man that said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to work out our faith this week, to exercise it. God, to believe that you will use us to win our community for Jesus Christ. You can use us to heal the sick. You can use us to provide for those in need. God, you can use us to start a revolution and a revival in this city like no one has ever seen before. God, I believe and I declare right now that you can and you will move in the well Fort Payne, God. I remove and I cast out all doubt in Jesus' name. God, any thought that's been implanted in our mind, any thought that's been implanted in our heart that is not of you, God, any time that we have exercised worry over faith, we repent for that right now, God. We don't want to be people people that you look down and you marvel because we don't believe you and we don't take you at your word. But God, we say right now, we believe. But help our unbelief, God. Cast out that doubt. We exercise our faith. Come on, just begin to pray. Just begin to press into the Lord right now. Exercise your faith. Begin to declare the promises that God has spoken and that all of His promises are yes and amen. God, I believe that you can and you will bring salvation to Fort Payne, Alabama, to DeKalb County. God, I declare that you can and you will use us as individuals to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would be people that work out our faith, that work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. God, I pray that we wouldn't be people that just say, yeah, I believe, but we would show our faith by our works. Give us the grace that is needed, the strength that is needed, Lord. In Jesus' name.